Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From Asthma Core Studios near Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, man.
It's the Weedsman Podcast.
I have no idea what's going on.
And now?
You have smoked yourself retarded.
Here are the Weedsmen.
You want to get high?
221, I'm Chris.
I'm Aaron.
I'm high.
Welcome back to the Weedsman.
Yeah.
Joining us now, we're smoking a gold-plated joint while sitting in a hot tub.
Yeah.
In memory of the great Robin Leach.
Oh, really?
Passed away this week at 76 years
old. I didn't hear that.
You didn't know?
No. Oh, no.
Host of the television show, as you and I know, and people our age, Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. This was before Cribs.
This was Cribs.
Before.
This was the original Cribs.
Before Desperate Housewives. Or not Desperate Housewives, but the Real Housewives shit. Before Pimp My Car. There was Robin Leach giving you a personal tour of the mansions, yachts, and sports cars that belong to the people who, I don't even know, like, I don't remember seeing a lot of, like, what I would consider celebrities at that time. Maybe they were just people who would... were celebrities in a prior generation, right? It was just like people. Like,
well, at this show, you don't get the most expensive-ish shit ever with 2 Chainz.
Right? I don't know. I can't say that I was a big watcher of the show, though. But you knew him. Like, you knew Telly's Savalas. Like, you didn't own a Diners Club card.
Like, this guy's
gig. That doesn't mean you didn't know who Telly Savalas is.
He made his shtick hanging out with rich people.
What is his deal, though? Like, how do you get that job?
It's great, because they probably...
Or did they...
come over, people roll out the red carpet for him. You know, they're cooking him baller-ass meals.
Who approached who? Did the studio say, we need a show about rich people, and to host it, we need somebody with a British accent?
Yeah.
And that was his requirement? Or was he like, look, this is the show. You fly me all over the world.
And I hang out with rich people.
And I just
and eat,
like,
their food.
Yeah, eat caviar, pop champagne bottles on yachts. He's a veteran entertainment journalist, according to CBR, who had been working in the industry since he was a teenager in London. He was working for the Las Vegas Review Journal when he suffered a stroke on November 21st of last year. Oh, that was recently. He was still working. The series showcased the homes and living arrangements of some of the biggest stars in the world. So maybe I just didn't know who the fuck they were. It helped usher in an era of celebrity culture we still live in today. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think idolizing people who have amassed wealth and display it in extravagant ways is not anything new to our culture. We might be like a little hyperactive about it more recently, but we've pretty much always worshipped our kings just for being rich, right?
Oh, he launched a little magazine. Oh, wait, never mind.
Oh?
I thought it was GQ. It says Go.
Oh. Yeah, never. Was it a British thing? Like, was it this just somebody who made a career in England and came over here? Or?
He's in WrestleMania 4.
Was he? I have to admit, my research is thin on the man.
Champagne wishes. Caviar dreams.
That was, yes, the catchphrase. He did have a rich voice, though. Not in a, like, a financially well-off voice, but an actual, like, rich tone to his voice. I mean, we're suckers for the accent, right?
Yeah.
So he was a reporter for the Daily Mail. He wrote for the New York Daily News, People, and Ladies Home Journal. Launched Go. See, how does he get on television? He's on television with Rebus Philbin. Is he doing the like black version?
It's Cribs. This is his Cribs.
It's made out of expensive chicken dinners I've eaten over the years.
Deaths always come in threes.
Oh, right? Who's next?
Isn't that the rule? Well, one of the authors of the most requested song of all time, even to bands that have never, ever performed it, passed away this week as well.
Who's that?
Oh, wait. He co-wrote Sweet Home Alabama. Never mind.
I saw that.
That's the most cut. I was thinking of Freebird.
Ah, yeah.
Guitarist for Lynyrd Skynyrd, who is on this headline described as Lynyrd Skynyrd guitarist. I think whoever wrote this headline thinks that Lynyrd Skynyrd died.
I know, right?
I'm surprised it doesn't say Lynyrd Skynyrd, guitarist, who co-wrote Sweet Home Alabama, dead at 68. But, you know, that could be implied. Nobody uses punctuation anymore. No, what was his name? Ed King. Passed away in his home in Nashville, Tennessee. So, I don't know. Are you a Lynyrd Skynyrd fan?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, maybe the third one will get you. The Big Bang Theory is canceled.
Oh, I saw that.
No. Not canceled. It doesn't get the... Yeah. It's just going to be ending.
Finally.
It's the longest running sitcom.
That's 12 years. It's not that...
That's what I said, too. But mm-hmm. Then I was like, okay, who's got him beat?
As far as sitcoms or just TV shows in general?
As far as sitcoms. You can't go Law and Order. You can't go Simpsons.
Well, let's say the longest running sitcoms is Simpsons.
It's considered an animated separate category. Mm. I mean, it is kind of a separate category. Simpsons has its
Law
own.
And Orders are the dramas.
Yeah. Nobody's got them beat.
All these people are going to be rich till the end of time.
Nerd obsessed for the last 12 years. They're probably mad. All because, the guy who plays Sheldon doesn't want to come back? They offered him $50 million. You got to really hate your job to walk away from that kind of money.
He said he's done with that. He was the guy.
Then again, 12 seasons over that time, I mean, maybe $50 million just doesn't seem like anything at all to him. Like, no, I just want to stop doing this. I don't want to be Sheldon for the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah.
I need to move on with my career of being the next Barney Fife.
Right?
What's the actor's name? catching viruses? Did they say we're catching viruses?
Yes.
Like, that's the thing that nerds like to do. You know, they're always on their computers catching viruses and Minecraft and shit. You on Fortnite catching viruses again?
Really, Google Music? This is where you go next?
What was your search? Well, Big Bang, end of the world. Could be both.
True.
Could be our lifetime. You never know. You never know. I mean, I can't even remember who it was that was tweeting about how they were nervous about Trump's condition because he feels like this is going to be a breaking point for him, and he wished that Trump was nowhere near the nuclear codes.
Like, what do people think it is hooked up to?
Also, what's your point? Like, do you think any of us are comfortable with that? But what, you're going to tweet out and get people mobilized to, like, slap his hand if he goes for him?
Like, what do they think? Do they think, like, it's duct taped? Like, it's an old 1980s doorbell switch?
No, somebody...
It's like a red phone.
Somebody is with the president at all times that has an attaché that has the nuclear codes that he can access. I'm not saying it's not possible, but...
Well, it's a little late on the draw with this with the Big Bang Theory, but I guess this fits in for that, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to draw flags, either.
Yeah.
How about that? You remember the guy with the longest fingernails in the world?
No.
Didn't you ever read a...
I thought it was a woman.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
I read the Guinness Book of World Records. I thought it was a woman in India.
There you go. No, that was a dude. I mean, I'm sure there was a woman who had long, but ever since I remember, it was a dude in India. Did you want to see him get cut off? I wonder if this will answer the question why. They're thick as hell.
How did he decide to grow his nails?
That's like half an inch thick or something.
Yeah, that guy.
Yes, why?
When he was 14, him and a schoolmate were playing around in the yard. Wasn't it? And they had one teacher woman. That had grown a pinky nail rather long, which is a cultural tradition in that area of India where they come from,
right.
Pune.
And they were coursing around on the is cocaine and a cultural tradition?
Knocked into the teacher's, the teacher's nail. The teacher got very upset.
I don't know whether the teacher is dead now or not, but I would definitely
like came
to
in
say
on the other channel.
The thing for which you scolded me for, I took it as a challenge, and I've completed the challenge.
Look
and now I'm here.
His hand
when I had my nails, I took
is
very
permanently deformed from having to hold his hands in a certain fashion because of his long ass nails.
It's fucked up, dude.
66 years of my life on
66
my nails.
Years of his life with not cutting his nail.
But when
that after God, look at how long they are.
Ripley's Believe It or Not. And the museum is going to maintain them very nicely and for a lifetime. Then I felt like I was making the right decision, and that's why I decided to cut my nails.
Did he get paid? Did somebody pay him money to do this?
I don't even know.
And then come and feed him and blow him constantly?
You guys are like, I haven't come in like 66 years.
Right.
First thing I did was beat off.
First of all, how do you get a chick with those nails? You can't even jerk off, right?
Maybe he's gay and he's a bottom. He just hooked up with the guy earlier with the box of dicks.
How did he... The fact that he didn't break any one of them, though, right? It looked like he had a full set going.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like 6 feet long, it looked like? They were longer than him. You might as well not have hands.
Pretty much didn't.
You know? And... You know the reason why he finally cut them? Because the Starbucks on the corner stopped offering straws.
And their new strawless lid with twice as much plastic?
Right. It's like the ice bucket challenge all over again. It's like less than 1%. The plastic in the ocean is 0.006% or something crazy like that. Percentage of it is straws.
Mm-hmm.
It's... I mean, yeah.
Some uptight white person in power made a directive. Now this happens.
Fucking fascists. Light fascism. Light dusting of fascism. Eating baby poop. People are eating baby poop. Well, the bacteria from it. Probiotics. What? Live microorganisms.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
Scientific reports say that the probiotic cocktail delivered from gut bacteria found in infant feces is an impending therapeutic option.
Oh, my God.
This isn't a cocktail of a shaken or stirred variety. Quit calling it a cocktail. Wake Forest School of Medicine assistant professor Hiriom Yade explains to Inverse that while it can be fed orally, quote, the cocktail is a mixture of isolated probiotics that have been extensively purified in a lab and verified for safety. Wait, that it can be fed orally, so it is usually a suppository? Would you put baby poop in your butt? I mean, it's better than eating it, right?
Isn't it like the complete opposite? You're putting into the butt?
Yeah. It is the exact opposite of what usually happens. What was that movie where the kid was like obsessed with the idea of pooping back and forth? Meaning two people would go, like, that was some sex activity that adults did. He thought they'd put their butts up to each other and poop the same poop back and forth.
Interesting. I don't know what movie that was.
Fecal microbiome transplantation. Or to use Yada's phrasing, a whole fecal slurry. Stop. What? Okay, go back to calling it a cocktail. At least that's something that somebody consumes. Cocktails. Slurry is like, what, like something you feed to pigs?
Are we being trolled? As a country? telling people to eat baby shit.
Well, we're not telling people to eat baby shit. And I know that I'm kind of making fun of it. Is it? In the concept of putting baby shit in your body is ridiculous. It is. But so was going to the moon at one point. So, yeah. Think about how happy babies are, right? You know how much of our mood is determined not by our brain chemistry, but by our stomach chemistry? That's not some flush the toxins out pseudoscience bullshit. These are studies that they are finding. Peer-reviewed scientific studies. It's known that the beneficial metabolites produced by gut microbiome are significantly decreased in the gut of people with diabetes, obesity, cancer, autoimmune, inflammatory bowel disease, as well as in the guts of older people. This is why we have probiotics. So all it's saying is, well, there's a natural source. It's almost like the stem cells. You get them in yogurt. You cannot get the same types. I think very much like there's a very aggressive form of stem cell that is able to do a lot of different things involved in the making of young humans in the womb. I think there's a microbiome that's transferred from the mother that is only like the best shit to keep you as healthy as possible. You know? Might be something to placenta eating even. Or that might just be viewed as more like with the South Park where the guy's rubbing the stem cells on his face.
Yes.
He gets them straight from the babies, like cracking them open.
Yeah.
Who was that? Was that like Tom Cruise or somebody? Who was eating the babies? God, what that show gets away with.
Hold on.
Yeah. I'll just jive with this, that jive. You know what I'm doing. What do you do to this song? This is like the worst Huey Lewis song.
Yeah, so I played it.
What have I done to deserve this?
You're talking about eating baby poop.
I would have rather have heard Amy Grant. I heard somebody do a cover. What sounded like a fairly modern cover of Baby Baby.
Tom, I'm standing out front of the stem cell facility with terrific news.
Why did somebody need
to? Once paralyzed, claims that he can now stand.
That's who it is.
To most people,
this is kind of in a biohazard box.
But to people like me, it's hope.
Cracks it open by the neck.
Tossed to the side.
And he's able to walk.
Yeah.
What an inspiration.
Surprise. Why didn't they do the robot voice? Didn't he have the robot voice at the time?
No.
But before a cell is designated as a toenail cell or a pancreas cell, it's what we call a stem cell. Sort of like a blank cell. Do you understand?
Not at all, but go on.
Because these cells are blank.
Not at all, but go on.
Based on what cells you want around them.
Stem cells, they're like the DD7 back in the day, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's
a miracle product.
They clean everything.
They just do everything.
The world have discovered DD7.
Developed in 1963. I didn't know it went back that far. A German businessman named Walter Willman.
And the gal wearing the pizza, a little DD7, no ink stain.
I heard he was the inspiration for Walter White.
Magic. You saw the red dye, ink, and iodine in our wash change our laundry from yellow to yuck. And with a little DD7, we change this to this and save the laundry. DD7 is super concentrated but can be diluted to fill this.
Which I didn't understand. It was like a paste.
Repeat offer for $14.95.
So we just like shoot it into your laundry?
Now you don't.
When you know what it does, it pays to have it on hand.
Call toll free.
What did he add to the commercial?
Some guy with a beard.
He's a bunch of flannel.
I like how the commercial was mostly ladies washing garments. And then there's a dude in a flannel shirt with a beard who's like, yep, I'm an authority on stain removing. And boy, when you know it does, which I don't because it's the guarded secret what it actually is. But man, I'll tell you, you wash your teeth with this shit. Somebody has to have accidentally washed or brushed their teeth.
This video keeps showing up. I think we should watch it. Keeps showing up in our YouTube mix.
It was named for the nickname of childhood friend Edith D.D. Coster. The number 7 was chosen because Wellman considered it his lucky number since his July 16, 1925 birth date added up to 7 in various combinations. Always one of those. 20 million tubes have been sold of DD7.
Good for him.
So everything's OxyClean now, right? DD7 was the original OxyClean. Oh, related articles. OxyClean. Wikipedia agrees with me. I remember what I wanted to bring up.
What's that?
I've been watching a lot of Pluto TV. Now, I know I've heard some podcasts talk about this streaming TV service.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not being paid by Pluto TV. I just wanted to make that clear. This is not an infomercial. This isn't a DD7 style infomercial for this service, but I did find it interesting. Have you checked it out?
No, what is it?
You can jump online and actually just surf it. It's just a streaming service. There's no DVR type component to it, right? So you can't record anything or pause it or anything like that. There's commercials. It's TV, right? It's cable TV that you watch for free. It doesn't have everything on it. You know, you're not going to get HBO. You're not even going to get AMC or any of those, or probably not a lot of your ESPN stuff or anything like that.
Hey, Trading Places is on.
But yeah, they've got movie channels that show decent movies, most of which I've seen already. You can go. Nothing groundbreaking, but they have two channels that just 24/7 run. One of them runs Mystery Science Theater 3000. The other runs Riff Tracks. All day long. Yeah, and I can just flip back and forth between the two of them. That's well worth watching some commercials. Oh, it's some Russian news. Bloomberg, I saw some MSNBC here, Fox Sports. I guess there's bigger names involved than I thought. Show channel guide. You'll have a better time that way. See where it's like glowing in the corner, tempting you to click on the area. Click on that area.
Put off the earth a while.
Stop the world. I want to get off.
Even in death, he just goes in her room.
Is this Hamlet? Yeah.
Tell all this flattered mountain you have made. Go atop up here.
No. Check out some of the other channels on there because they're.
What is he?
Some of the channels are just like cat videos and fail videos, which I have to confess I watched a decent amount of. Go to the, instead of going like bouncing through the channels, show the channel list and you can just surf through it. And just go right to
cats.
It. Yeah.
Cats Gone Wild. Every day is Catter Day.
But there's a 420 channel on here too. I actually haven't watched it yet. Because mostly I'm watching this with my kids. I've seen... there's only so many like good cat videos, really. I've seen most of these over and over again. THC. There was a channel that said THC. What is that? Oh, it's just all getting dug with high.
Oh. Promoting our competitor.
All the stuff we were saying during the break would have been perfect content for the show. We were really just going over all of our...
Oh, they got the Nerdist on here?
We've been ourselves for once in our lives.
Yeah, I feel like we just finally dropped the facade.
But just to recap a little bit, Jamie just really wants to get more into weed.
Chassis. Adam Carolla has a channel.
Joining us, Jamie Lee.
So a lot of this is stuff that's being offered in various streaming services on YouTube and whatnot already.
But what were you telling her?
Yeah. But this is just a way to organize it and alcohol, like most people prefer monetize it alcohol. Like for with me, commercials, which I'm totally fine with.
And I was asking Jamie about.
I mean, I think this stuff we could probably go on YouTube and watch for free.
I drank more than I usually do.
The Riff Track stuff, you know, to buy those movies individually and watch them on demand is like $8 to $10.
But
I'm not saying it's not worth it, and I have, I do own a number of them.
Insanely sad. Yeah, I guess.
No, can you browse forward in time? Like, do they show anything other than Getting Dug with High?
I was just sad, and I was like, oh, I gotta.
Why not just call it the Doug Benson Gym?
Yeah, maybe weed will be my thing from now on.
Okay, well, let's try
it. I don't know if there is.
Okay.
I don't think there's a way to, like, look forward.
Yeah, it's your thing now.
Doesn't look like it.
I like that.
That is kind of weird.
Blue tube.
Do I just do that again?
Yeah.
I get yelled at by people sometimes on the internet because we'll take a couple of hits out of one of the pipes.
I think one of the things that I enjoy about this, it is very, it's very much old school cable, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day when we had like 100 or so channels and you could just surf through them and sometimes find stuff that you wouldn't normally watch. And this is a decent enough collection of shit. Not shit, but like stuff.
Unbelievable.
That you can just browse through. You can channel surf through.
Don't get angry, Doug.
Wait, no, I get it. I think it joke about this exact thing happening.
I think it is a good part of it. I mean, there's a whole channel that's appealing to pot smokers, but I think there's more than that. That like, hey, pot smokers need to channel surf, and you can't channel surf.
No, you go.
Like on YouTube, National Lampoon movie.
Van Wilder.
Oh, hey,
never
look.
Seen Van Wilder?
Is that Deadpool?
Yeah. It's a Deadpool when his only other credit was the two guys, a girl, and the pizza place.
Wilder?
Was this his big movie?
Tim, the principal from Breakfast Club.
Wait, oh, yeah.
Decorated an early
you got the bull by the horns. 2 months. I own your ass.
Yeah.
I personally come down here, Wilder. I wanted to give you the results of your test firsthand. And just as
see?
I expected.
Good browsing, right? Good surfing.
Yeah.
You succeeded.
You know?
91%.
Oh, they're showing dick after this? You know? Have you ever seen that?
I'm proud of you,
were we talking about it? Get you NC-17 earlier?
No. Not showing dick, like the movie Dick about Richard Nixon.
No.
It's about two girls that want to interview him.
I fooled around with my daughter.
He's like these hippie what? Chicks. I don't know. It was very enjoyable. It was quite campy, but very enjoyable movie.
Yeah, he passes the test, and and Tara Reid falls in love with him. I believe that's the love interest at this in this movie, really? Is Tara Reid.
She was the inventor of
this
Vocal
is the
Fry.
End.
Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Tara Reid, she invented Vocal Fry.
She's a Vocal Fry pioneer.
Back as much as you can inside, okay? Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is that?
That's Kumar. I forgot he's in this movie.
He's doing the accent too, huh?
Just mm-hmm. Transferred here from Bangalore.
Oh, really? Your accent says that has a perfect American accent. She's like, I just transferred here.
Hey, excuse me. Can you tell me where I might find the raddest fucking dude alive?
Yeah, by the pool, Gramps.
Hey, I know you, man.
Oh, I feel like I need. Is that Jesse? It looks like Jesse from Breaking Bad.
Dad, I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you graduated. A friend of yours sent me this.
I can't believe I'm proud of you, tank tops are still a thing. Or
no graduation. Oh, this is in the 99?
No, I know. I'm just looking at it like, that's still a thing. So long, mm-hmm. Guys. It's
by far the best investment I ever made.
Is this
oh, she's
is
a female
Aerosmith? What's the music?
Piece of shit.
You see Steven Tyler's getting backlash for telling the president that he can't use his song?
Of course, because everyone gets pissed off about everything now. Yep, there she is.
No.
Back when you still wanted to fuck her.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't. I'm just... I was never like in love with her.
Well, not me neither, but if
but she's
trying. Tara Reid in 1999 looking like that comes up to you and says, "Hey, you want to fuck?" You're going, "All right."
Well, first, well, yeah. If you're banging Tara Reid in 1999, then
yeah, you're doing something right.
You
may I?
Yeah,
you're Ryan Reynolds.
You won't have a problem getting chicks after that.
Yeah.
Right. So look at it that way. The article. Oh, big kiss. Oh, is this the finale?
Yeah. She fell in love with him. She's a reporter that was sent to do a story on him. And she ends up falling in love.
That was their meet cute.
And of course, she's with some uptight guy. That's the obstacle, right? She's got a boyfriend.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, this movie had the quote that... I love how people think such a shit quote is such a good quote. This movie has the... one of those examples of that quote where they think they're being so deep.
I don't know what quote
he says, you shouldn't take life too seriously. You'll never get out alive. That's like what this movie hangs its hat on. Like that's his big life changing quote.
That's the
like
quotable part of
Tara Reid to dump her boyfriend and loosen up. Like, I remember thinking, like, that is such a shit quote.
Oh, really? That works on her?
Yes. That's supposed to be...
It means nothing.
That's supposed to be his big philosophical thing that we're supposed to take away from this movie and apply to our own lives. Right. So, there's a little Van Wilder in all of us.
Yeah, no shit.
That is such a shit... That is such a bad quote to base your life around.
Right.
No, there's actually some things you should take seriously.
That's like some Jim Morrison philosophy.
Like living inside?
None of us are getting out alive.
Like, you know, I think you should make sure that you live inside. If you have kids, you should make sure they eat. You know, those are things you should take seriously. You know, maybe call me a buzzkill here on the Weedsman Podcast.
I mean, that's like something you say to somebody when they're like, oh, you smoke cigarettes? Like,
yeah.
Hey, we're all going to die anyway, right? Got to go somehow. But... It's not a general life philosophy. Like,
yeah.
It's something that we can use to excuse our weaknesses. But if we live our lives that way, then we're going to live some pretty miserable lives under a bridge somewhere.
Yeah. It's going to be
with herpes.
And trouble. Yeah.
Financial debt.
Having tales of blowing a dude. Yeah, I've blown a dude. Who hasn't?
Cocaine's a powerful drug.
Yeah.
And it all started with the marijuana, right? The gateway drug.
Devil's lettuce.
It's only a matter of time. We're just really late bloomers, right? We haven't hit our crack phase yet.
There's a crack phrase coming?
A crack phase? Now I'm thinking of like crack face, like he's be a He-Man action figure. This was some local news in our Lansing State Journal from Ingham County Sheriff Scott Rigglesworth. A funny name. Probably a chill dude. He was at a town hall recently and asked about, well, something that's going to be on our ballot coming up, which, remember there was a question about whether Michigan was just going to go ahead and legalize it or whether they were actually going to let it go on the ballot.
Yes.
And our state representatives were like, well... you know, this way we can control it and, you know, we can set some sort of boundaries for how cannabis rolls out in our state. Seems reasonable enough and all. But the more I hear about other states looking to make this decision, makes me think that my original conspiracy theory is actually truth. You keep issues like this off the next ballot, it keeps liberals away from the polls. That's the thinking.
Correct.
So, not to get too political on this podcast, but it's kind of really important that issues like this go on the polls. Because if it's going to drive liberals to the polls, then, you know, that can make a big difference in a purple state like Michigan.
Or others.
And others, yes. Such as Seals.
Seals?
Sorry. It's, I think it's from Birdemic. Or maybe one of the Sharknado movies or something like that. But there's like a fake news report and they're like, the climate conditions. I think it is in Sharknado. They're talking about the climate conditions that are affecting the local wildlife. Ending it with a sentence with such as seals.
Tara Reid's in Sharknado.
She is a
second appearance on the podcast.
Oh, so anyway, we were talking about the Ingham County Sheriff, Scott Rigglesworth, who says in response to a question from an audience member about whether he believed the ballot initiative would pass, he said, yes, he did believe it would, but it will significantly increase the crime in the state of Michigan.
Nope. No, it won't.
And how so?
What's this guy, a congressman, a state legislator?
He does go
just
on.
A dude? Who is he? What is Scott Rigglesworth?
He is the Ingham County the sheriff.
Oh.
The way it's set up, they have this like break, and then there's links for more, and then there's somebody's picture who may be the author, and this quote next to her, making it look like she's the quote, but I think it's from Scott Rigglesworth. Yeah, because he's talking. He says, we get asked all the time on minor pot stops, if we get somebody smoking a joint, they'll say to us, why don't you just disregard this and spend your time on real crime? Well, if you look at the statistics in Colorado since they've legalized recreational marijuana, the real crime, the home invasion, the assaults, the drug driving, has significantly increased because you've got a whole bunch of people walking around high, making bad decisions and victimizing other people.
Really?
No stats to back this up, right? Because nobody, it's not. First of all, there's very few places where crime actually is going up. Like, overall, in America, crime is going down, and Colorado's no exception. Sorry, did I burn your MacBook there?
Sorry.
Also starring Alan North.
And, you know, I think the only one that has any possibility of validation is the drug driving, right? And, yeah, you legalize something, you're going to see people, you know, more apt to try that drug and drive afterward. And if you're a novice or somebody who gets lightheaded or, you know, sleepy or something like that, treat it like you would any medication. You should be able to have enough perception of your own reflexes and state of mind to know whether, you know, if a doctor says, hey, take these muscle relaxers, and you're like loopy and reacting slow, well, then you shouldn't be driving on it, right?
What?
Right. It says if recreational marijuana gets legalized, you will always have an illegal market that goes alongside it. You know,
well,
what?
Anything.
That may be true.
Guns are legal. There's a black market for guns.
Absolutely. That absolutely may be true. That's not an argument against legalizing it, though, right?
Correct.
It shows a demand for it, something that you can monetize with taxation.
Hey, guess what? Prescription drugs are legal. There's a black market for prescription drugs.
There's a black market for cigarettes, for fucking booze, for fucking, I mean, take your pick. So California not only seems satisfied with their decision to legalize cannabis, and another place where we've heard no increase in crime because of it, are now looking to go a step further and actually expunge many marijuana-related crimes in this report recently in NPR. And I think they were citing mostly an AP article about a bill that passed recently that would require Department of Justice to review cases dating as far back as 1975 and until 2016 to determine their eligibility. So I would imagine looking at it as, was this a violent crime, first of all, right? Was this either a violent crime or on a scale where you were like, yeah, were transferring millions of dollars worth of product around? Or did your business dip into gang territory, which a lot of it would, and therefore other drugs as well? But if you're talking about some guy slinging dimes, some kid getting wrapped up in some shit that he shouldn't know, you know, or fucking dad or a mom or somebody who just gets popped with some personal use and harassed over that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then can't get, you know, gets turned down for a government job. Can't get that good lifetime pension shit going on because of this stupid charge. There's a lot of ways that it affects many different people's lives. Keeping them from getting into good schools. Lots of opportunities that you can't participate in with any sort of record. From a minor pop bus all the way up to, you know, you're the guy who distributes to your whole campus.
Yeah.
You know? Those are some big operations, too. Some guys fund their college careers.
George Young.
Slinging drugs of various types. You know?
Remember he had his boys calling him like, I need more.
Who is George Young?
The blow guy.
The blow guy. Oh, right, yeah. So, yeah. California, I hope they do. That's a lot of people that are jailed in that state for probably a lot of various crimes for things that they're now sitting in jail going, what the fuck? Like, people are opening storefronts now and selling this shit, and I'm still rotting in jail.
Yeah, moving more weight than I ever did, and I'm in jail.
Republican State Senator Nielsen said, this directs us to forget any prior behavior that was illegal. They should not be given a pass. Right. Well, no, they have standards, right? It doesn't say in the bill, everybody who's got a pot offense is going free. You're setting up a board to review it. You know, you're deciding if in looking at the state as now having recreational marijuana, is it still logical to keep these people locked up? Or would they not be jailed at all if they did their crime today? That's the lens you have to look at it through. San Francisco District Attorney George Garcon means boy, says that the problem is that if you go through that process, you have to hire an attorney, you have to petition the court, you have to come for a hearing. It's a very expensive and very cumbersome process. You know? The reality is that the majority of the people that were punished and were the ones that suffered in this war on marijuana, war on drugs nationally, were people that can ill afford to pay an attorney. Absolutely. The role of the government should be to ease the burdens and expedite the operation of law, not create unneeded obstacles.
Didn't we talk about, like, the city of Seattle got rid of a whole bunch of old convictions?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some of them when you're talking about people who aren't locked up because of their crimes. If they just have something on their record, then it's pretty easy to come in and just go, well, we're just not going to consider this anymore. But yes, none of this is going to, no amount of legalization is going to completely eradicate a black market, even if it's just some guys growing in their basement. But out in California, they have whole farm operations are still operating heavily in that black market because that's the home of the skunk. That's where all the good shit comes from, ultimately.
Yeah.
When they were able
to... The home growers.
They used to grow out in the open and then, moved their operations indoors. That's how you got the hydroponic skunk. Yeah. But still, old-fashioned outdoor-grown California weed is something special. I've tasted a little bit of it myself, and I can say, with no exaggeration, it's a different experience. It's a different type of high. But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. These operations that they're trying to hide from the DEA, some of these are transporting plants by helicopter. They're, like, picking up plants and, like, plopping them down in a field somewhere else to keep them on the move. Innovation for you. And money. I mean, that just kind of shows you how much... fucking helicopter, right? That's not cheap to operate. I mean, just to start up and fly around the neighborhood, it's not cheap. To pay somebody that not only knows how to keep quiet, but also knows how to fly a helicopter.
Yeah.
For like...
sure. Maintenance and upkeep on a helicopter.
Right. The fuel. I don't know. CBS had a story about it recently. The 50 pounds of marijuana that they caught that was out in the forest Well, shit, I remember friends of mine found a bunch of plants growing in just like a little wooded area off the freeway in Detroit. They came across a whole bunch of pot plants.
If you flew a helicopter, yeah, would you just always listen to this?
I would insist, yeah.
Like at all times. But you're flying a tourist tour. I don't care.
Try and do a barrel roll. I think this thing can do a barrel roll.
Backflip.
Backflip.
I remember he told him he puked because he did a barrel roll. He asked him if he thought it could do a backflip.
Yes. 400 marijuana growing sites found in national forests each year.
Nice. 400 surprise parties.
It's
had
a good thing they're peaceful hippies. If they were like, you know, the libertarian kinds, it would be like a Clive and Bundy standoff.
400 parties had by national park employees.
Government
every
can't
year.
Own land. This is the people's land.
400 very happy park rangers every year.
Yeah, there's a lot of people being paid off for that, I'm sure. I don't imagine park ranger is like a high-paying job. I mean, you're a government employee, right? So you got that going for you.
Got that government pension.
Right. In my experience, most of them are dicks. But then again, you know, I guess I encountered them mostly in my 20s, and I was probably the dick in those situations. Real buzzkills, though. National Park Service.
Yeah.
Bunch of buzzkills. There's a candidate in Florida recently that was vocal about her willingness to accept donations from Florida. Let's see, Nikki. Her name's Nikki Fried, or Freed. I'm sure she pronounced it Freed. She's running for agriculture commissioner, which I didn't know it was a thing, much less that somebody would run for. But Floridians love voting. So I think
it's their own.
Yeah, that's like their hobby. Like that and bingo.
What's her deal?
Oh, what is her deal? So she's running for agriculture commissioner. It's not a thing I find easy to say. Agriculture commissioner. And she's actually worked for medical marijuana people or industries representing the medical marijuana industry, and was open about willingness to take donations from the medical marijuana industry. Because of that, her Wells Fargo bank account for her campaign was closed like the next day.
Damn. It's cold. Wells
now,
Fargo.
Maybe Wells Fargo's being a little overcautious. They certainly have gotten into a decent amount of trouble recently on their own. Look, if you're running commercials that are like,
they're talking about, hey, we've changed.
That's not us anymore,
we're not happy,
baby.
Wells Fargo. We got a Muslim guy who works for us now.
I mean, they're practically holding the boombox up outside our window.
Yeah.
Like, you got to believe me. So, and I can attest personally that company is full of snakes. They're horrible to deal with. I had an auto loan through them. That was a nightmare.
Cool. I'm financing my windows through them. Right. Neat.
No, I'm sure you'll be fine. No, they're good with windows. That's totally different.
Sure.
Well, this was also the Wells Fargo employees got in trouble for. This is the same company that was opening multiple accounts, right? Because their employees were bonused off of opening accounts. And so they said, you have to open up 30 accounts this month. That's one point something a day if you work a five-hour day. But I'm sure they work more than that. And if not, if you can't meet this quota, you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would open up. Old person comes in, I need to open up an account. Great. You need a checking account, a savings account, whatever the fuck account. Maybe let's just say another checking and savings account, because I don't know what other fucking accounts you'd open up. But they would just open up multiple accounts for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And just put like a couple bucks in them and then meet their quota and get to work for another month. So this is the type of shit that Wells Fargo and others like that, other banks like them.
Meanwhile, they're running commercials like this.
Know the value of trust. We were built
getting
on
the trust back
when the country went west for gold. We were the ones who carried it back east.
by Steve.
Back when we were run by cowboys, that's when you could trust us. How does that even apply to anybody now who's been screwed over by you?
We always found the way.
They show like, what they really want to show is we've been here forever. Okay,
that isn't where the story ends. Here's the we fucked up part. Starts again. And then we paid the Black Keys to use their song. To you.
Wow.
Fixing what went wrong, making things right.
I haven't seen this. This is like the long form version of it. Branch bankers. And what are they showing you? Oh, we're different. We have open office plans.
We send
and an
money
app.
To we loan money to Black people now.
Yeah. We have people of all different colors working in an open office on an app that you can bank with.
It's a lot like our first day. Wells Fargo, established 1852, reestablished 2018.
Prove it.
Yeah, come find everybody you fucked over and cut them a
so
check.
Anyway. But yeah, Wells Fargo are dicks for different reasons. I mean, the fact that they don't want to deal with anything that has to do with medical marijuana even, when you're overseen by the federal government ultimately, and that's who decides the legality of cannabis, that's just good business practice.
Mandy was saying she can't deal with dispensaries selling her insurance.
Real estate, she's probably...
Because they're not federally insured. Dispensaries are not federally insured, so they can't offer they can't offer their employees insurance.
It's a lot of things to consider. And what if your ship like burns down? I mean, there's
having a party?
No, like a grow up. That's one of the hazards.
I stand by
now,
my answer.
With the expansion of not only cultivating cannabis, but all these other processes involved in making concentrates out of it and tinctures and whatnot and drinks. Some of these involve highly explosive or highly flammable materials. So you're seeing a lot more, you know, people, their establishments are burning to the ground. And they don't have insurance to cover that in a lot of the times. The banks, the insurers, everybody, nobody wants to touch that shit. We got to get it out of Schedule 1.
Yeah.
What is this the strain that we're smoking?
This.
Is this a pure indica shit?
This. It's called Deep Space.
Oh, shit.
This exclusive organic flower is described by many as the perfect high. After a hit or two, users generally start to feel a strong cerebral influence along with a feeling of elation and awareness that can increase users'
ability to focus. Here comes the elation. I'm feeling it.
This is soon accompanied by a noticeable relaxing body high that can amplify senses, slowly fading into the feeling of tranquility and well-being.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to describe it.
Organic deep space buds are medium-sized and densely covered by a thick layer of crystal trichomes that seep through the surface. As for the taste and smell, it's a treat for any cannabis user, to say the least. The strain offers a perfect blend of sweet, fruit, and grape flavors that will keep you coming back for more.
Can I take a whiff of that nug? Bro. Buddy. That's fruity.
The piney greasiness of the Romulan mom comes through with the high amounts of resin.
Some greasy.
And a slight undertone of pine fuel. The Afghan dominates the flavor with the strong earthy hash, but with hints of piney fuel fruit. The buds are rock hard nuggets of pure happiness, as three tokes will send even a hardcore smoker on a great ride. Wonderful for low back pain and knee pain, also will wonderful sleep aid, and beware, heavy munchies come with this one. This is from our friends at thegreenleaf.com.
Deep Space. I listened to, there's an interview, I think this was on This American Life. They interviewed an astronaut, and I don't remember his name because he's not one of the names that's burned into our heads. Because he was one of the first men to actually go into space. Not to land on the moon, so that would have been...
It's not Buzz. John Glenn?
Nope.
Somebody else?
Yes, somebody else. But he was talking about... He was being interviewed because he seemed totally nonplussed by the experience. He wasn't... It was something that he felt like he had to do because this was a space race, right? They were getting beaten by the Russians, and that couldn't happen just for image sake. Like, you know, America is
different
better
times.
Well, America is better. Right. Absolutely. Now you, it's better to be Russian than Democrat, apparently. But yeah, so this was like, he was part of proving that America could do this, you know, thing that Russia achieved, and more so even to, like, you know, actually get multiple people out there and eventually to the moon. But he declined any future missions. He didn't go to the moon. He had no interest in it.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he's like, why land on the moon? Like, we already proved our point, right? Everything else is as important as the moon landing is to us as, like, the event that defines the space race, defines our nation at that time, and is just this cultural hinge point for, you know, how we thought about ourselves as a nation. And the way that he describes the actual flight that he was involved in that just went outside the Earth's atmosphere and took pictures of the moon. At one point, while taking pictures of the moon, the Earth starts to rise. And so they're seeing an Earth rise for the first humans to see this, right? And they take a picture of it. And you know the picture of it. You've seen, if you look up Earthrise, you've seen the picture that they took. And that did more than change the nation. That changed the whole world. That was people seeing a little bit of what those astronauts saw out there. How tiny our world is, how self-contained everything is. Like, I don't, it's just a different perspective, a different way to that first one. It's like a big marble, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a little bit bigger than the moon looks when we're on Earth. I don't know. I thought it was like, those are the best stories, the ones that make us realize, like, we, as much as we revere certain things as, like, historic, right, and they are to be remembered and define our culture or people or country or whatever group have you, we just like the pretty story, ultimately, right?
Yeah.
We like the stick and the flag in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody remembers this guy. I can't remember his name or the flight that he was on. And I listened to the podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a name that's burned into my brain. And yet, he talks about his favorite movie being Casablanca. And the reason being is because the guy chooses country over the dame. And that's it. The love for your people is greater than the love of one person. And the interviewer was like, wow, that's not very romantic. And he's like, that's what? He's like, I disagree. That's like, and I see his point. Like, he has a romantic idealization of his country in a way that, like, they're better than the Russians. This country can accomplish things more, can do it better than the Russians can, than communism can. He was needed to prove a point. Anyway, I'd recommend it. I'm ranting. We should wrap up.
But speaking of space, though, NASA, did you see this earlier this week?
What was that?
The story is hilarious. Where is this?
Of nabbing the position. Oh, a woman reportedly lost out on an internship with NASA over her exploit.
Oh, yeah.
Tweets about nabbing the position. Screenshots.
I wasn't sure if this was real at first, but then, like, saw actual stories about it.
Naomi H. writing, "Everyone shut the f*** up. I got accepted for a NASA internship." Homer Hickman, a former NASA engineer whose 1998 memoir Rocket Boys inspired the movie
October
Sky,
noted
her language, leading to an even more vulgar response from Naomi, ending with, "I'm working at NASA." To which Hickman responded, "And I am on the National Space Council that oversees NASA."
Suck my dick and suck my balls.
According to Newsweek, in a post on his blog that also appears to have been deleted, Hickman said he learned
that he was like, language. She's like, "Suck my balls. I'm working for NASA." Yeah. He's like, "I'm on the board at NASA."
The F word could get her into trouble. And
kiss
didn't
my
call
ass
for her
and
to
suck
the
my dick.
Instead,
but
says Hickman explained
they
that
did
some
also
of the
tweet.
Unkind messages sent to him included the NASA.
They did actually. She got her internship, right?
Naomi no, they shit canned her.
I thought I had heard that they were reversing that decision.
No, man.
And honestly,
don't reverse that. You can't do that shit.
Why? She didn't know, right? Some stranger was, like, correcting her for swearing on Twitter. For swearing on Twitter.
Kiss my ass. Right? Suck my dick. Everyone.
I mean, yeah, it's a dumb move. It is a dumb move. And if I got accepted for any government job, if I got accepted as a mailman, I wouldn't be like, suck my dick, I'm delivering your mail, bitches.
Yeah.
I'd expect to get fired for that. But, you know, they just have a different expectation.
I don't know.
Okay, fire her ass. I don't care. She'll just go work for Elon.
It's true.
Some part of one of Elon's Tesla factories was on fire, and someone's like, oh, it's white smoke. That means they've chosen a new Elon. Which I imagine is booting up a new clone.
Yeah. Firing up a new robot.
Right. I think you flipped it all the way over. It's supposed to be in the center position.
Oh, hey.
There you go.
There it is.
Flip the switch.
Aha. Hey.
I saw it real quick. Saw a car with a Trump sticker on the back and the customized license plate said, on a stick. It's like,
it's Jeff Dunham's car.
I don't ever want to be near your house for any sort of celebration. We're not going to have a good time, I can tell you that much. I don't mean to judge, but Jeff Dunham fans are ruining this nation.
I saw a car that had a bumper sticker that said, you are on Indian land. I'm like, well, are you like an 80s hippie?
I saw a tweet that said, do you ever think that the reason so much fucked up shit's going on is because this whole country is on an Indian burial ground?
I hope that was a comic writer. Or at least a comic. No, it's probably somebody.
I wish I could credit. I repeat a lot of tweets that I can't report because I don't really absorb these names and faces.
Yeah.
I'm just absorbing content.
But hey, our tweets, you can find them at TheWeedsman420.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
It's just mostly our podcast, but if you want to know when the next podcast is going to be out, that's probably the quickest way to know it.
Yeah.
Faster than your podcast catcher can alert you.
Yes. And then Instagram's there.
Instagram is, yeah.
It's there.
Oh, it's there. You're I'll back you on that statement.
There's a lot of...
It is still there.
There's a ton of content there. Maybe I'll start creating some again.
If you like all of the data mining but none of the crazy ants, that's probably why you use Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is owned by fucker face.
Yeah, I don't really like Facebook, but I love Zuckerberg and his company.
Yeah. And
a kid?
Yeah.
Don't kick us off your platform.
Yeah, no, right. All of a sudden they shut our, it's like our, one of our bigger accounts, too. Email the show, The Weezer Podcast, ChristopherMedia.net, where there is a donate button. If you would like to throw us a month, you can even subscribe to PayPal. It's that simple. Reoccurring dollar every month. You think this show's worth $12 a year? I do.
That's cheap.
Yeah.
What a cheap date.
And stay high.
Stay high.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.